All right, can you hear me now? Good? All right, so before we start, I feel like I have a couple words of knowledge. If you guys don't know what that is, it's like God kind of just shows, sometimes it's a pain that's not your pain, it's for somebody else, and God wants to heal that person of that. So last night, as I was reading, getting my notes kind of in order and how I was going to do it, my left ear started burning, and I didn't know what it meant, and I was like, man, that's kind of odd. And it was like on fire, but this ear was cold, and this ear was red. And I was like, man, that's weird. So I feel like that's a word of knowledge. So if there's somebody that maybe has something wrong with their left ear, maybe it's hearing loss, or you have hearing aids, or something like that, and you want that hearing back, yeah, stand up. There's one. Is there anybody else? Okay. And then the other thing is, it's gone now, but during worship, kind of in like the lower part of my chest, it started getting really tight, almost to the part like where it was burning. So I don't know what that could be. Lung problems, that could be, maybe you have bad, reflux, acid reflux or something like that. So if that's you, I want you to stand up too. All right. So we don't have to touch them and pray for them, but just extend your hands towards them. Yeah. Father, I just release your healing power right now. I just release your healing power right now over them. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for this healing and that we are worthy of it. Yeah, we just say all acid reflux, all chest pain, all hearing loss, right now be gone in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Yeah, we just pray for your healing power to come and we just say yes to it. We accept it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So just a recap of what I talked about last week. I talked about the fire in the Old Testament of like when it came down, when it fell on sacrifices. Usually the sacrifice that was being offered was a burnt offering, because when the fire came, it consumed everything. And what the burnt offering meant was full surrender. And it's cool that like the fire came and fell on them, fell on the sacrifice, which was a representation of the person offering the sacrifice, right? This was Old Testament. The sacrifice was a representation of what the person was offering. And the fire fell and consumed everything. And that was, in Old Testament, considered a full surrender. So they were literally full surrendering their life back to God. And then I kept talking about, like, how bad do you want it? Trying to just raise up this hunger in us that says, man, I want this. Like, I want that fire to fall on me. I want to be that sacrifice. I want to have full surrender of my life where I can move and I can walk and I can do the things Jesus did, because he did it out of surrender to God. He came as a man, but he did it out of full surrender as God, or full surrender to God as a relationship, which is the same thing we can do. So I talked a little bit about that, and then I want to tell a little bit of story about me. Whenever I don't remember. It's kind of funny. Like, a lot of people have these testimonies of like when they were saved, and when they spoke in tongues and these different things of when it happened. I don't remember that. I feel like I don't remember when I was like, oh Jesus, I accept you into my life, but I feel like I always have. Because I've grown up as a pastor's kid, and I've always just known, okay, Jesus is real and he lives in me, and I love him and he loves me. And I don't remember the specific time when I started speaking in tongues, because I don't know, maybe I started speaking in tongues before I could remember. So it's like I don't remember those things, so it's hard to say like, oh, this is when I was saved, or this is when I received the Holy Spirit. There were times when I feel like the Holy Spirit came on me stronger and stronger with a stronger anointing, but I don't remember the specific time that it first happened. But I remember one time when he came strongly on me. I was 18, and I was at my dad's church, and I encountered the Holy Spirit. I knew that God was real. I've seen healings and all these different things, but I was split between two different things of, like, I wasn't in full surrender. I was split between, like, sometimes I would I'd be like, oh, yeah, my friends are going out to a party. Yeah, I'll go. Why not? Let's go do it. So I'd go out, and I'd drink. I'd do some stuff, obviously, that I shouldn't do. But then I'd come back to church, and I'd be like, man, that was stupid. What am I doing? I was stuck between these two things. And I remember when I was 18 this one time during worship, worship was going on, and I'm sitting in the back with my friends and stuff, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hit me. And like, if you would have knew me before, like doing this right now, there's no way I would do this. I hated being in front of people. I hated it. I always told myself, no, I'm never going to do that. Never going to pastor. Never going to preach. Never going to be in front of people and lead. I just want to be a normal person. I don't want to do any of that. That obviously, that didn't happen. But so I remember I was 18 sitting in the back. I'm worshiping and stuff. And boom, the Holy Spirit hits me. And I had this feeling in me like, you have to get out of your chair and go up front. You have to. And it was like, it wasn't that God was making me do it, but it was like my spirit inside me saying, are you going to surrender? And it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And I was this super, super shy, super timid kid. And I remember just getting out of my chair and getting into the aisle. And I'm walking up towards the front, just bawling, just crying. And I got up front and I was just sitting there worshiping and just getting hammered by the Holy Spirit. And I'm just crying. And it doesn't mean after that I never sinned or never did anything bad again. I did. But it was like, in me, there was this thing of surrender that was like, God, I don't want any of that stuff that I've been doing. I just want to surrender to you. And I feel like sometimes there's seasons where we just have to do that. We just have to get into things like, man, I don't know what the heck I'm doing anymore. I just got to surrender and this. I just want more. I want to go into the next level. So the same thing as last week, I'm going to do it again. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit on you, just like I did, do not stay in your chair. Come up front. Just as an act of surrender, saying, God, I want more. I want an increase of your spirit. I want more. Whether you're a little kid that's like 2 years old, if you look over and your kid's crying or something, and it's the Holy Spirit and he's touching him, grab your kid and bring him up front. He might not know what's happening. He might not even remember it. But the Holy Spirit's touching people, and I feel like we just have to get in that place of surrender where we're like, okay, we want more. So I'm going to pray real quick. Father, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you for your spirit. And we just invite it to come right now. We invite you to come and just touch us and fall on us. Just increase our anointing in you. Increase your presence and your spirit on us. I pray that you just bring us to a new level in your love and how much you love us and how much we're just created to have communion and have things with you. Yeah, God, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. I got some little tabs this week. Last week I didn't, so I kind of lost some notes that I didn't write down correctly. But this time, I'm on it. So 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. I talked a little bit about this last week. I said something about it, but I didn't really talk about it a whole lot. So this is Paul talking, and he's talking about sexual sin and about it being sexual sin being the sin of the body, a sin of your body. But then he gets to this part where it says, yes, it's flee from sexual immorality. All other sins commit are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So I'm not going to go into the sexual sin part, but the part where it said that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Like, what does it mean to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, your body? And that's kind of what I'm going to try to answer some of these questions as I'm doing this. And the Holy Spirit's going to answer some, too, that I probably can't answer. So I talked about this a little bit last week too, but when in the end of Matthew, when Jesus died, he's on the cross, he gave up his spirit. And when he gave up his spirit, he said, "It is finished." When he said, "It is finished," what he meant was all the sin, everything that held us down from a personal relationship with God, as Jesus had it at that time. We didn't, because we were sinners. But when Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." And it was interesting, because as he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit, there was an earthquake. Rocks split. The curtain in the Holy of Holies, which is where the Holy Spirit rested at that time, was split, and the Holy Spirit was released. So if the Holy Spirit was released, now what does he look for? He looks for a temple. He looks for a temple. He looks for us, our body, to be a temple for him to come and rest. But even that, what does that mean? Like, what does that actually mean when we say, okay, the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to rest on me and in me. And not only what does it mean, how do I position myself? What do I have to think? How do I have to position myself where the Holy Spirit comes and he fills me so much that I live and look and act the way Jesus did? You know, when Jesus died, he didn't just die for salvation. Yeah, salvation was the beginning of it. But there's so much more. So when you get saved, right, you're saved. When you die, you go to heaven. But what's in between there? What are you going to do in between that when you get saved and when you die? Are you just going to wait? Are you just going to sit and be like, "Oh, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. This is what Jesus died for. I go to church every Sunday. I go home and I live my life and I come back to church the next Sunday. But when I die, I get to go to heaven. Yay." Like, it's great. I'm not saying it's not great. It is. It's amazing. But there's so much more that we get to encounter and we get to do now while we're on this earth, in between that part of when either we die or Jesus comes back. So that question, the question of like, how do we position ourselves, or how can I explain it? I think one of the biggest things that hold the Holy Spirit back from coming in power upon people is what we think of ourselves. Is what we think of ourselves. I'm gonna get into it a little bit more, but last night, I might be kind of getting ahead of myself, but oh well. Last night, as I was getting this thing wrapped up, it came to this one point, and I'm gonna read it a little bit later. But like, I, as a Christian my whole life, and this just happened last night, and some of the people might have had this encounter, and they already think this about themselves. But last night, I had this encounter. And Monica can tell you, we were sitting on the couch, and I was just getting wrecked. But I was just sitting there reading this, and I read it, and I was like, wow, that changes everything. Changes the way I think about everything and how I'm going to live, how I'm going to pray, how I'm going to worship. And it was this mindset of, I am saved. Right? When Jesus died, he took what was deserved of me and he put it on himself. That way I can have what was deserved of him and live in it. And all I have to do is surrender. That's all I have to do. But I thought of this part, I always thought of it as like, I am a sinner. Jesus saved me. Whenever I go out and I talk and I preach or I do something, I do it in this mindset of, I'm still a sinner. I'm not holy. I'm not worthy. I'm not sanctified. Jesus is sanctified, And when I pray, he has to do it. It has nothing to do with me because I'm not worthy and I'm not holy. And that was my mindset. That was my thought. And it sounds kind of, for me, it was like I was in this place of thinking it was humility when really it was me disqualifying myself. Because I wasn't thinking of like, man, when Jesus died, he took my place of all that stuff that, where I was disqualified, where I was not worthy, where I was not holy. I thought of the thing as in like, you know, I'm just not worth it. Like the Holy Spirit, he touches me, yeah. But then whenever I pray for somebody, think of that. If you pray for somebody with the mindset of, I'm praying for them, Jesus is going to work through me because I am worthy of it. Because Jesus died for me. And Jesus died for that person. I get to release. All you're doing is releasing what you surrender to. If you're not surrendered to Jesus, how are you supposed to release it? How are you supposed to release him? So it changed, and I'm still processing a lot of it, but it changed just the way I think of, like, whenever I preach or whenever I pray or whenever I, just anything, when I talk to God, prophesying. So I always get these crazy, like, dreams and different pictures and stuff, and sometimes I don't say it because I'm always like, you know, that's probably just me saying that because I'm not worthy of that kind of thing. But why do I say that? That's literally denying what Jesus died for. He literally died to make me worthy, to have that kind of relationship where I can say, yeah, Holy Spirit, you can come and rest on me because I am worthy. I am now that holy of holies that you were in before Jesus died. I am sanctified because of what Jesus did. And it positions us in this place where it's like, man, you better get ready because the Holy Spirit's coming. So John 17, 16 through 19. John 17, verse 16 through 19. So this is before Jesus died, and Jesus is praying for his disciples. And I'm not going to read the whole top part of it, but he's praying to God, saying, God, protect them, protect my sheep, my lamb, my people that I had with me. I'm kind of just paraphrasing of what he was saying above that. But then 16, it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So just picture this. So when Jesus died, he literally united himself with us in his death. When we surrender, and we surrender to it, he unites us in it. So he says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. But this is crazy, because he's not dead yet. He's actually prophesying it to them, saying, he's praying for them, because he knew what was coming, and he was saying, God, unite them in me. Make us one. I'm leaving, but make us one. And he said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. He's literally bonding himself to anyone who says, I surrender. He's literally making himself one with us, where we can have that same relationship with the Father that he did. Exactly the same. Where the Holy Spirit is in him, is on him. And everything he does, he positions himself to go after what the Father was doing. Whether he's praying for people, whether he's prophesying, whether he's going up on the mountain to pray and rest. He only did what he saw his Father doing. How? Because he surrendered himself as a man, not as God. He came as man, and he surrendered his godliness That way, whenever he would die as a man, he could release what was truly his over us. So, sanctify, I looked it up because I wanted to know what it meant. Sanctified means to make holy. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it means to make holy. And like I was saying last night, it just hit me. It hit me so strongly to the fact where it was like, man, I'm holy. Like, I am holy. Not because of anything that I did, but because of what Jesus did. And all I have to do is surrender, but I am holy. Yeah, I make mistakes. Yeah, I sin. I do things that aren't good, which is why Jesus died. And then we surrender again. We surrender and, oh man, God, that was dumb. I made a mistake. It's not like God doesn't understand. Do you think God didn't know that you were gonna sin? I mean, why would he have sent Jesus if he thought we were gonna be perfect? So then I was like, well, sanctification, what was that? And in the back of the Bible, it has this little dictionary thing, and it says what it is. It says, sanctification is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. So it's ongoing. That means it's not going to end. It's ongoing. So that means when we receive the Holy Spirit, that's not the end of what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's the beginning. Because it's ongoing and there's always more. There's always more of his presence. There's always more of him infilling. There's always more of that next level, which is amazing, and it's fun. that's why it's an adventure. It's not, oh, I got saved, now I just sit in the pew, I come every Sunday, I do my dues, put some money in the offering, I'm a good Christian, I go home. I come back the next Sunday, I do it again. I don't know about you guys, that sounds boring. So, where I read that, where it's praying for the disciples, there's some people that say, well, that stuff died with the disciples. When the disciples died, that was it. Like, it kind of just died with them. That's because they were with Jesus, that kind of thing. Healing's not for us today. Prophesying's not for us today. Holy Spirit, yeah, I don't really know. It kind of scares me, so I'm just not going to even deal with that. But then, in that same chapter, you go down to verse 20 to 26, right after I just read, it says, my prayer is not for them only, or them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me, or for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. You know, the message of Jesus, it started with the disciples. And it came down in generations. It came down all the way to us, and we're here now. And he's literally talking directly to us, too, when he prayed. Because he said, I don't pray just for the disciples. I pray for anybody who believes. And then we go on farther. For those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. What does that mean? Everyone who believes made one. How? How does that happen? It's unity. Yeah. It's unity under one God, under one word, under one thing, Jesus. Because he died for everybody to be united in one with him and with God. That all of them may be one, just, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world, my tongue's messing up, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So it's that one. It's so crazy to just, I don't know, last night it hit me in a different way, I guess, maybe. Because I've read this, but it didn't hit me that, like, man, I'm one with God. Like, I am holy. I am worthy because Jesus died and I surrender. Now I am one with God who created everything. Everything. Like, I am one with that because I surrender. It just, I don't know. I'm still processing it in my head. I don't even have words for it, but it's like, it's blowing my mind. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them as you loved me. It's just, it's crazy. Like glory. He says glory. Like, sometimes whenever, I don't know, I guess last night, it's the same thing. It just hit me in a different way where it's like, man, like the glory of God is given to me. Like, it's given to me because I surrender. It rests on me. It is in me because I surrender. And then it says, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. That's so crazy. Like, we're all this one united body under Christ. Like the body. That's how we become the body. We surrender ourselves and we say, God, make me one. Where even though we're separate parts, we're all under the same head. The body moves. It moves with the way God moves. Because we're united and we're under one thought, under one thing, Jesus, under what he died for. Just makes me happy. I don't know. So John 16, I'm going to go back. So the Holy Spirit, I talked about it before, whenever Jesus died, the split open and the Holy Spirit came out. He's looking for a place to rest. He's looking for a place that's holy. And remember, what you think about yourself is probably the most thing that holds the Holy Spirit back from coming into you and making you a temple. What you think about yourself, whether you say, like what I thought kind of last night, like, man, Jesus saved me, but I'm not worthy of it. I'm not holy. Like, I don't deserve the glory. And it was like I would try to pull these strings, like, okay, God, Jesus died for you. I'm praying for this person. You should probably come heal him. I'm not worthy of it, but you should do it. Like, how does that? And it's crazy because God actually sometimes did come and heal these people. So I don't understand that part, but it's like, what would it look like if we prayed and we lived our life from this that thing in us where we said, I'm worthy of God's glory. Like, I'm worthy of praying for people and seeing them get healed instantly. I'm worthy of getting pictures and dreams at night to prophesy over people. I'm worthy of it. If I come up on a car wreck and somebody's dead on the side of the road, I'm worthy of going out and praying for them and seeing them come back to life. But not because of anything that I did, because of what Jesus did, and all I have to do is surrender and be united with him in it. So John 16, starting in verse 5 through 16. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read through it and say some stuff, because like when the Holy Spirit comes, this is his point. This is what he comes and does. Okay? So now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus had to die to make us holy, so that the Counselor can come. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. So when it says guilt, guilt is meant to bring us to repentance. It's meant to bring us to surrender, because there is sin. Sin is real. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he looks for a place that's holy. And it's like there's this fight between you, your sinful nature, and the Holy Spirit from trying to come in. And the Holy Spirit's there. And once you surrender, boom, there's the Holy Spirit. That's the thing. There's this guilt that tells you you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You don't deserve the glory. You don't deserve the Holy Spirit to come. It's like there's this battle. This is what you're thinking. This is what God is thinking. But then when you come to the realization, like, man, no, Jesus died for me. He made me glorious. He made me worthy. That mindset goes away, and the Holy Spirit has this place that's just, boom, comes right in. In regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin, because man do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you now can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. All. Everything was given to Jesus. And he says he gives it to you. He says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no longer, and then after a little while you will see me again. So he's literally sending the Holy Spirit to come and make known to you everything that was given to him. That's unity. That's one again. And all we have to do is surrender. I remember my first year of BSSM. I went to Guatemala. It was on my missions trip, and I remember I was a shy, super timid kid, and I was just learning about my identity and all these different things in first year, and coming out of this shyness, out of this guilt of I'm not worthy. And it was crazy. I didn't even get the full picture of it until last night, but I was in Guatemala, and we were getting ready to go to this one church that was mostly youth and young adults. I think Josiah was there. And I right before that, Ben came up to me, Ali, and Paul, which was my roommate, And he said to us, all right, we're going to have you guys come up and speak. I'm like, well, what? Oh, really? I don't know about that. That's crazy. I'm going to freak out. Because remember, I'm this super timid. There's no way in heck I'm getting up in front of people and talking. There's no way. So he's like, yeah, you're going to come up. I feel like God's saying for you to do. Oh, jeez. What are you doing? So I remember Allie went first, and she got up, and she spoke in Spanish, so I had no idea what she was saying. I didn't know Spanish at that time. But we were supposed to kind of have the thing of the Holy Spirit, talk about the Holy Spirit, what he means to us, that kind of stuff. And she got up, spoke, and then it was my turn. I got nothing. Like, freaking out, nervous. I got no notes, put right on the spot. Oh, man, God, what are you doing? This is crazy. I'm freaking out. So I get up there, and I'm like, okay, I got an idea. There's a translator, so I'm just going to pray. And in between my words, I'm going to think of something I got to say. So I remember getting up there like, oh, man, this is going to be so bad. What am I doing? This is so embarrassing. So I get up there, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to pray. So the very first thing I say is, everyone put your hands out in front of you, because I see Bill Johnson do it. I see other people do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it too. So they put their hands out in front of them. First thing I say is, Holy Spirit, come. I got my eyes closed, right? And I didn't even know what was going on. But they said whenever I said, Holy Spirit, come, it was like a bomb fell in the room. And people, they started like falling out of their chairs, crying and stuff. And I didn't even know what was going on. Like, I got my eyes closed still. And I'm like, oh, God, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I have no idea. So in between these things, I'm praying. All of a sudden, I open my eyes. Everybody's wrecked. And I'm like, what in the world? I didn't even say anything. And yeah, I don't even know what that means with that, but it was a cool story of the Holy Spirit just coming. And it was nothing I even did. Like, all I did is released it, and it came. And I mean, I was a super shy, timid guy. There was like no way I'm getting up in front of anybody. And I get up there in front of them, and all I do is say, Holy Spirit, come, and he comes. And I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to preach about. And I mean, it was cool because I didn't even have to preach. Then we just prayed for people. But so God had my back on that one. But I remember it was like a couple hours before this thing, before we went, Ben told me, hey, you guys are going to go up and do this. And I'm freaking out. And there was this one verse that I found that I feel like it has, at the end of this is the part that made me feel a lot more comfortable getting up in front of people, even though I was still scared and had nothing that I was going to preach about and know what I was going to say. But I read this, and I just read it over and over and over and over again. It didn't make me feel less scared. It didn't make me feel less timid. But it was like, what it felt like for me was like, as I was reading this, the Holy Spirit was just pumping me full of the Holy Spirit. That whenever I got up there, all I had to do is say, Holy Spirit, come, and he came. So at the end of Matthew 28, talks about the Great Commission. Because remember what I talked about, I think it was not last week, but the time before that when I preached about the kingdom of God, going after the kingdom of God. If you're not going after people getting saved, you're not going after the kingdom of God. Because that's the point. The point is increasing the kingdom of God, increasing people getting saved, increasing them knowing who they are and actually releasing what Jesus died for in them. So I'm going to read this. It talks about the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I read this and I was like, all right, I'm taking this for me because I'm nervous right now and I'm freaking out. So I'm in Guatemala sitting on this top bunk bed where all the guys are sleeping, and I'm sitting up on this thing with my, remember the CD Walkmans? So I still had one of these things at that time. I had no idea. I don't know why I didn't have like a little MP3 player or something. But I had a CD Walkman, and I had a Jesus Culture CD on with my headphones on, and I'm reading this. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay, that's me. I got the authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And I just kept reading this over and over and over again and be like, okay, God's with me to the end of the age. God's with me to the end of the age. He's always with me. I'm freaking out right now. I don't know what I'm going to preach about. But he's with me to the end of the age. I have the authority. I have authority. I didn't understand it all, but I kept declaring these things over myself. And I feel like it specifically had some kind of connection with whenever I stood up and I said, "Holy Spirit, come," and he came. Because I declared it. So this is it's kind of interesting too, where it said where it says, "Baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This was before the Holy Spirit was even poured out yet. The disciples they didn't even have the Holy Spirit on them yet. Jesus talked about it. He talked about what the Holy Spirit was there for. And he talked about it. But the Holy Spirit actually didn't infill the disciples yet, because they were not the holy thing yet, because Jesus didn't die. And it's that blows my mind, because it was like Jesus was prophesying these things over them, like, "You guys get ready. Get ready, the Holy Spirit's coming, he's gonna guide you into all this stuff. Like, I'm here right now, I'm guiding you. But when I go, Holy Spirit's gonna come and individually be with you, and he's gonna guide you." And then the Holy Spirit comes in Acts. And I'm gonna kind of talk a little bit about this next week. I'm not going to preach much next week. We're just going to go after the Holy Spirit coming and making us his temple. But so Jesus, before he was taken up into heaven, he already died. He was raised to life. And he says this to his disciples. "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So John the Baptist, when he was saying, they asked him, I can't remember the exact... Well, anyways, I'll just paraphrase it the way I got it in my head. So John the Baptist was baptizing people with water, and people came to him and said, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? You're the one coming." And he said, "No, there's one coming after me who's, I don't know how, sandals I am not worthy to untie. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Spirit and fire." Remember what fire meant? Full surrender. When the fire comes, it always lands on surrender. So he waits, he tells his disciples, "I'm going. When I go, stay in Jerusalem and pray and wait for the gift my Father is sending, because he's going to send it." So then you go on a little bit farther to Acts 2. Which is when the Holy Spirit came. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." One. They were one. Going after one thing to receive the Holy Spirit that they didn't even know about yet. "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them." Remember, fire falls on sacrifice. "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." That's what we're going to go after next week. That very thing right there that it just talks about. When the Holy Spirit came, it came and rested on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. So then you go off, you read after this. And it's crazy because, like, at this time, Jesus mostly was in Jerusalem and kind of the cities around Jerusalem, the Israelites, because they were the chosen people. But after this, it wasn't just for them. That's for everybody now. It's for all the Gentiles. So then, remember in Matthew, he said, go to all the nations, go to all the nations and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on them, and then the Holy Spirit guided them to all these different places. You see him going to Asia. You see him going to other places around the world. And a lot of them, they died there. But they were in full surrender. And they say, my life is not mine. I was bought with a price. Jesus died for me. He made me holy. Holy Spirit is in me. So whatever you got, whatever you want to do, God, I'm in. And that's what we're going to go after next week. So can you guys put your hands on your heart? Yeah, Father, I just thank you for your goodness today. I thank you for the word that you gave to me to deliver. I am honored to be able to just stand up here and just preach about you and preach about your goodness. And God, I just pray that throughout this week that your presence just comes, and it just brings us to a place of surrender. Just I pray, God, if there's things that we need to just bring to the surface, and you say, God, that we need to surrender, I pray that you do that. That you bring it this week to the surface, and we just say, okay, I surrender it to you. God, I pray that next week, as we're just in extended worship and ministry time, that your Spirit falls, and that you just come and you touch us, and that you infill us and you guide us, Holy Spirit, to just do whatever is next. Because we just say yes, we say we're ready, and we just love you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.